forgive me if I lose my voice this morning. Last night I was screaming and yelling with my grandkids. We were playing pit. Anyways, when Pastor Mike asked me to speak this morning, I was very hesitant because it's been a very long time since I've had young children in my home. However, I realized the Lord reminded me that once you're a mother, you're always a mother, and you will always have a mother's heart. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my growing up before I go on to tell you a little bit about the kids' lives. I was born in a non-Christian home. My father was a weekend alcoholic. So it was a very, very hard upbringing. But I was very blessed to have a maiden aunt in our family that ruled the roost, and she told all the rest of her siblings what to do with the kids. So we were sent to Sunday school from a very early age. I can remember going to a little Bible chapel when I was about 5 years of age. And then when I got older, I ended up going to People's Church in Toronto with a girlfriend of mine. And during that time, I was involved in a girls' group called Pioneer Girls. And I don't know whether anyone knows what that is, but it's something like guides. And we used to earn badges that was all scripturally based. The motto of our group was called, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So anyways, that's where I met the Lord. I was about 14 when I met the Lord through Pioneer Girls. Then as a teenager, when I was about 16, because I was in a non-Christian home, at the age of 16, my parents gave me free range to do whatever I wanted to do. And, of course, without the influence of a godly home, I got into a lot of things that I shouldn't have gotten into. However, when I was 19, it was a very powerful time. It was the time of the Jesus people. And I don't know whether anyone knows that, but it was a movement that started down in California. And there was a place down in Toronto called Catacombs. And at the time, my best friend, Neil, was going down to Catacombs, and he invited me to come along. And this was a very, very powerful time. It was the time where I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. There were people being healed. There were people being speaking in tongues, words of prophecy. And when you went into this church, there were long-haired hippies hanging over the balconies, long skirts, and dancing down the aisles, and it was just such a powerful time. And so many people were being saved. My best friend Neil and I, we became involved in an outreach ministry at that time where we'd go around to the northern towns in Ontario, and we were in a singing group. And it was a very, very, again, very powerful time, and the Holy Spirit was just, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit among all these young people was phenomenal. Anyhow, about a year later, my best friend Neil and I were married. We moved into a lime green school bus with mauve bumpers and daisies painted on it. And we would come back on the weekends. My husband was a photographer. We'd photograph a wedding, earn $50, and take off again in our little green school bus and pick up hitchhikers and minister to them. I remember one time when we were going across the border in this school bus, and at that time we had children, but anyways, we were going across the school the border, and they stopped us in the school bus. We were going down to Lovin, which was a Christian community down in Ithaca, New York. And they kept us probably for about 3 or 4 hours. And they just tore our school bus apart. And all they could find were Bibles and tracts. But anyways, to make a long story short, at the end of it, they looked at us and they said, "Well, are you married?" And that's all they wanted to know, was whether or not we were married. So we showed them our marriage certificate, and we went on from there. Anyways, that's when I became pregnant. And in the course of 4 years, we had 3 children, Matthew, Rebecca, and Aaron. Of course, we had to settle down at that time because we had the children. So we started a home photography business in our home. The business all came by word of mouth. But my husband was home most of the time, and he had a lot to do. I was very blessed to have someone there to support me while I was raising the kids as well. And because we had the business at home, we were able to work from home and raise our kids as well. But my biggest desire for my kids was that they would have a personal relationship with the Lord. I often said that I would have given my eye teeth when I was a teenager to have had a mother that loved the Lord. And I really wanted my kids to see that how much a personal relationship with the Lord meant to us, to my husband and I. But it wasn't always easy. I think when you're Christians and you're raising kids, you question a lot of things. And who do you go to for the answers? Especially if you weren't raised in a home where you go back home and ask your mom what you would do in this circumstance. So we leaned on the Lord a lot. And we wanted our kids to know that that personal relationship was what sustained us through all those years. One of the very first things we did with our children, we put them in, they were the two oldest ones, they were 3 and they were 4. And there was a group going on at one of the churches, a Pentecostal church at the time. It was called We College. And the kids, the first scripture verse that these children learned, and this is 3 and 4-year-olds, was, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." 2 Timothy 3:16. And they didn't learn it in NIV or anything like that. They learned it in King James. Big words for little ones, but they memorized it, and they all graduated from We College. Anyways, we were also blessed when we bought our first home, which was a few years after we were married. Down the street from us was an older lady, and she ran a Good News Club for kids in the neighborhood. And it was such a blessing. Our kids would go down there, and they would go at least once a week, and they were memorizing scriptures and doing games and making crafts. And for me, it was just a real blessing to see. My husband likes to say that they were being indoctrinated in the Word, and I think that's a very, very good thing for them to be indoctrinated in the Word. At this point, I would just like to encourage anyone who is involved in children's ministry to keep on keeping on, because it is such a vital ministry for all our kids, and it has such an impact on all the young lives. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it." And God has a purpose for every one of these precious little ones. Also, as parents, as I've said before, it was very important to us to live our faith. And that a hope was that our kids would see us living that faith. We were involved in Sunday school, ministry to kids on probation. We had home Bible studies. And we had a very open door policy. And because we had an open door policy, and a lot of people that had been involved in catacombs, and a lot of them that had met the Lord, there were a lot of influence on our children from believers that were coming through our home. And today we still have that open door policy. Then when the kids were 8, 10, and 12, the Lord called us to Israel. And I remember leaving the meeting where the Lord had spoken to Neil and I about going to Israel and ministering in Israel. And we hadn't said anything to the children. We kind of just looked at each other and knew what the Lord was telling us. And then when we were going home in the car, our oldest son piped up and said, "When are we leaving for Israel?" So it was almost a confirmation through our children that that was the ministry we were to go to. It took us a year to pack up and sell all our belongings. And a year later, we packed the children up. We took a large container of my husband's business over to Israel. And we were there for 3 years. And there were so many experiences for the children as they walked and explored the land where our Lord lived. Living among His chosen people was a life-altering experience for us. And being involved with so many people that were ministering in Jerusalem, you tend to kind of congregate when there's a small group of you. And the churches over there, King of Kings was the main Pentecostal church, and a lot of the people were going there. But the Bible stories in the land, when you walk the land, they became so real to us. And Jesus became more real to us as we saw him as a very Jewish man. One day our children went to Hebrew school in the morning, and then they came home in the afternoon, and we did Canadian correspondence, which at that time was still very scripturally based. That's a good many years ago. But one day, my oldest son came home from school, and they're going to Hebrew school, speaking Hebrew. We had taken a bit of Hebrew before we left from Canada, from a Jewish believer. But my oldest son came home from school one day, and he said, "The teacher bawled the class out today, Mom." He said to them, "How come this goy, Gentile, boy, knows the Torah better than you do?" So all the bases and scriptures that he had learned were paying off. Anyways, there were so many experiences that I would love to share with you, but that, again, is a story for another time. The most wonderful memory I have of Israel, we were in Jerusalem, and at the time we were going to a Baptist church, but our three children, before we came home, decided they would be baptized. They wanted to be baptized in the River Jordan. What a blessing. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. And then we came back home. It was like coming back to a foreign culture. We had put our children in the public school system in Rexdale, Ontario, which a very, very multicultural part of the city. And it was just the horrific values of the system, to me, were just so overbearing. So we decided at that point that I would go out to work and we would put the kids into Christian school. So they started into Christian school. Our youngest was in grade 8, so he went to 1, and the other two were in 9 and 10. Anyway, so they went to Christian school for those years. It was hard on us, very hard on us, hard on us financially, hard on our marriage, hard on the children. We were very strict parents, even when it came to church activities with the youth and when the school activities at a Christian school. But by the grace of God, and really by the grace of God, we made it through. And even though there were a number of years where our children, there were two of our kids, who did not speak to us at all, we had to learn to lead them in God's hands. Ultimately, he loves them more than we do. And learning that lesson in trust, and sorry, I'm getting emotional. Learning that lesson in trust is not easy, as I'm sure many, many of you know. But God is faithful, and he is gracious as we learn to walk with him. Today, our kids are grown up. We have 10 grandchildren. Each one of them loves the Lord and are raising their children in the Lord. They are involved in churches. My oldest son is a minister in Orillia here. My daughter runs a ladies group in her church. And my youngest son is a home father, raising his two kids, and they're involved in a large church down in Toronto as well. We have a very multicultural family. I have a daughter-in-law from Nova Scotia, which is a very different country. I have a son-in-law from Trinidad, And I have a daughter-in-law from Sri Lanka, and our grandchildren are beautiful. They range in age from 17 down to the age of 7, and it's marvelous to see how our kids are raising those kids. And you never stop being a mom. Even today, there are some things in our family that we just have to leave in the Lord's hands. But I would just like to say to you moms that you are in ministry with your children, no matter what stage you're in. Family is very important. Cherish the years you have with them, because it is so short, a time that you actually have to influence them. Use every opportunity that you have to point them to the Lord. And from our experience, if you train a child in the way he should go when he is old, and all our kids are over 40, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Blessings on all of you mothers, no matter what stage you're in. And just to let you know, there is life after kids. Scuba diving, ballroom dancing, cruises. Happy Mother's Day to you all.
Moms are all on a journey, and every path is unique to them. There are a million things for her to do, but none more important than introducing them to the beauty and wonder of God's creation. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. She's been through years of joy and heartache, and her stories are sacred, precious, and holy. She's poured out her life into her children and grandchildren. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. Most of the time, they remember what you've taught them. But then other times, they need a not-so-gentle reminder that boundaries are a part of love. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. Giving birth to her own children didn't play out like she thought it would. And while there have been many dark days, this day is providing more light than she knows what to do with. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. He was her firstborn son, and even though people might feel sorry for her, there's nothing she'd change about her situation or about the gift he is to her. There's no one else in the world like her, and God made it that way. Every mom is unique and beautiful. And our prayer today is that all mothers would allow God's truth to pour over you. That there really is no one else in the world quite like you, and that God Himself really made it that way. So be blessed and be honored. Continue to shine the love of Christ into the places where your family needs it the most. Happy Mother's Day.